So I subtitled it. I did the same title as last week. Who do you think you are? Because we've got to know who we are in Christ if we're going to walk in authority. If we're going to use our faith, we're going to have to know who we are in Christ. So tonight I just subtitled it, Reigning in Life is Reigning in Our Mind. Because if we, the first place we have to learn how to rule and reign by the Word of God is in ourselves. You know, sometimes we start wanting to talk to things outside of ourselves, and if we don't have control of our thoughts, we got a battle. Yes. And so it really just took a totally different turn on me tonight. So bear with me as I get this from what he's wanting said through my mouth. So let's go to Romans chapter 5. And you know, I started trying to find a good place to start. And every single one of these verses starts with therefore, or for, or yet, or but. Every single one of them. And it was like, would the apostle please take a breath and put a period somewhere so that I'll have a good place to start. So as always, you are students of the Word and disciples of Jesus, so always read above and below at your convenience when you can, when you're studying. If you'll remember, last week we talked a lot about a word that's often translated power in the King James Version. It wasn't dunamis, it wasn't that miraculous power. We talked about it meaning authority. And it meaning that we have the authority for the action that he calls us to do, that we have freedom to act in what he calls us to do, and that it came from the Greek word verb that means it is lawful. So we looked at a lot of scriptures. I gave some of you who I know weren't here last week, I gave you notes so that you would have those scriptures to look up that word and know where it's used. But in Romans 5, we're going to start in verse 12. And I'm reading, I think, I didn't put it down, I'm pretty sure this is the English Standard Version. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong when I start reading. I try to put that in there, and I apologize I didn't. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, who was that one man? Adam, right? Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. So in other words, the law showed the sin, right? It caused accountability. It's just like if there's no speed limit sign, there is no law broken by speeding. So the law pointed us to Christ. It said, guess what, ladies and gentlemen, you need a Savior, right? And so it says, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Here's where we're going. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, Adam, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. I don't know about you, but I love that God's a much more God. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, Adam's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man, Adam's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And I read all of that to get to that one phrase, that if you will receive the abundance of grace, and if you will receive the free gift of righteousness that Jesus died to give you right standing with the Father God, if you'll receive that, you can reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Where death reigned and all the miseries of sin reigned, where the curse reigned, if we will receive, and we're not going to reteach righteousness because we taught on it for weeks on Sunday mornings this year. But if we could receive it, if we could accept it, when we accept Jesus, if we could understand what he provided for us, then it puts us in a position to where we can reign in life. And you know, I just wrote in my notes, what does it look like to reign in life? If it says I can reign in life, let's just think about it a minute. What does my day, what does my year, what does my lifespan look like if I am reigning in life? You can talk out loud.
Peace.
Peace. That's a good one. Yes. Joy.
Victory.
Rest. I can tell what's important to people. It's great. Prosperity. No lack. Health. Go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say your response in adversity or tough situations.
I love that. Our response in adversity. And that's really where we want to go because we're dealing with the mind tonight. If I can reign in life and I can overcome my mind, my thinking, if I can, what we're going to talk about in Romans 12, renew my mind and deal with the thoughts I have in myself, insecurities, doubts, if I can overcome fear, then it just opens up a whole nother world to us. And y'all, I don't know if y'all have noticed this or not, but being a Christian doesn't keep life from happening around us. And I don't know what false religion tried to make us think that if we were good little Christians, you know, that life was going to be perfect and rosy. But if Jesus had to deal with things and he was perfect, you know, life. But if we're going to reign in life, that means that life is not reigning over me. And that's going to be my definition of reigning in life. It means life is not reigning over me. I have a choice. I have a response, as Josh said, when adverse things happen. And if you don't get anything else tonight to say over yourself, Lord, I accept your free gift of righteousness and your abundance of grace, and I reign in life through Jesus Christ. When you feel like you're being reigned on, when you feel like you're being dominated, when you feel like life is dominant, I'm talking to somebody tonight, I just know it. I could feel it. I have felt it all day. Sometimes I think it's myself and the things I'm dealing with. And then I think, usually if I'm feeling it like this on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, it's not just me. You're not meant to feel dominated by life. I started looking at Jesus. And, okay, I would say he reigned in life. And when I started looking at him, I saw him doing odd things. I saw him talking to trees. I saw him speaking to the atmosphere, to the storm, for peace. I saw him calling for peace in the midst of where everybody else was freaking out, thinking they were about to die, and that Jesus didn't care, and, you know, they were not reigning in life, right? They were not reigning in life. They were in panic mode, and I don't know if you've ever felt in panic mode before, but that is not a good place to be. Your brain will just, you think the wind was bad that day. What was going on in their heads was way worse than what was happening on the outside of them, and they had to... They needed to dominate their thoughts. You know what? I really think Jesus expected them not to come wake him up, but for them to say, "Peace, be still." That's where he wants us to get. And how can we do that if we don't have control of our thoughts? I looked at Jesus. He was calling demons out. He was dominating. He was reigning. He had authority over them. And he used that authority. You know how many Christians panic at just the thought of a demon? They're stupid. Demons are stupid. I'm not talking about the people. The demons are stupid. They're losers. If you know who you are in Christ and you walk in your authority, and if you don't let fear move in, Jesus multiplied bread. He multiplied fish. Hunger didn't dominate him. Lack didn't dominate him. Worry didn't dominate him. What are we going to feed these people? Where are we going? He took the bread. He broke it. He blessed it. Just that mindset of whatever was needed. I want to get there. I don't want to have to get there after I've had to get control of myself. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that to be a second response. I want that to be a first response. So I'm pushing myself here. I'm pushing myself because it's real easy for my flesh, my personality, old personality, not my new man, but my old flesh, to get in a frenzy. Yep. I'm looking for you. Thank you, Alicia. Thank you, Tabby. Okay. Thought I was the only one there for a minute, and I was fixing to start calling y'all with all of my stuff. Jesus, they're trying to put pressure on him. They're talking. They're like, I think it was Peter that was with him. And they're like, hey, does your master not pay the temple tax? You know, pressure, pressure, pressure. And Jesus looks at Peter and he said, go cast a hook. And the first fish that comes, we don't even talk about types and shells, but the first fish that comes up, take what's in his mouth and go pay it. Jesus is so chill. I want to be chill. I want to be chill. Taxes? Tax season? Okay, when am I going to get a hold of this and just go, this is my new thing I've been saying. Jesus is Lord here. I said it to a couple people tonight already. How's your day? Jesus is Lord here. Jesus is Lord. And if he's Lord, and he's given me his word, I speak his word, and his word is Lord over this situation. So my whole week has been, Jesus, after I catch myself, there again, it's been my second response. I want it to become my first. Jesus is Lord. And that doesn't mean I don't do anything, but that means I have the authority to do something. He gave me the authority to do something. We talked about that, right? He gave us the authority. Go ye therefore. He gave us the authority because he has the authority. He gave us the authority. And he's gone, but we're still his body. And I think sometimes we separate the head from the body. If Jesus had the authority, his body has the authority to speak peace into situations, to speak health into bodies, Eddie. To tell demons to get out, to shut up. Sometimes he just told them to shut up. Shut up. It wasn't a second response. It was his first response. And that's what I'm pushing for. He told the fishermen where to go throw their nets when they had fished all night. Authority over the fish? Don't tell Rusty. He'll skip and be fishing tomorrow. Jesus escaped death. You're talking about pressure? We don't often talk about this, but in John chapter 8 and in John chapter 10, they're fixing to stone him. And he slips out. They lose him. How do you lose Jesus? I don't know. Joseph and Mary did once, but you know, these people are wanting to kill him, and Jesus. We're talking about a group of people with stones in their hands. He doesn't panic. Slips out. I will say this again. Jesus is so chill. He's so peace. He is the Prince of Peace. I want to look like him. I don't want it to be my second response, church. I want it to be my first response. He overcame the devil's temptations in Luke 4. If you've got temptations, if you've got things that tend to trap you, we got to look at Jesus. We got to see how he handled that. He had to handle that mentally. He had to have an answer. And it was the word of God. And that's what came out of his mouth. He overcame his flesh to the point of death on the cross. You got to know something. You got to have revelation of something to go through what he went through in those moments. I'm just going to say, put simply, life didn't dictate his actions or his outcome. Life's not going to dictate my outcome. It's not. It's not going to determine if I make it or if I don't make it. It's not going to determine if I'm happy or if I'm sad. It's not going to determine if I'm in peace or if I'm in turmoil. It doesn't have that authority. If I've made Jesus as Lord, guess who has the authority in my life? My Lord. My Lord. Some of y'all are looking at me like you do not understand, but I'm telling you. Life tries to dominate. But in Genesis 1, we read it last week, man was to dominate. He was given dominion. Yes, thank God we have the authority that life doesn't get to make our decisions for us. I don't like to be controlled. I'm not talking about being submissive or not submissive. I'm talking about I don't like to be dominated, controlled. Now, if Rusty is my head and I submit to him, that's not what I'm talking about. He's not controlling me. He's loving me, right? He's walking with me. He's leading me. He's guiding me. But I'm talking about I don't want life to tell me. I don't want my past to tell me who I'm going to be tomorrow. I don't want my temper or my personality to dictate to me how I'm going to respond. I get tired of that flesh ruling and dominating me. And so we've got to talk about it. You know, the circumstances of this life are changeable. Our response is changeable. Our outcome is changeable. All of this sounds ideal. It sounds exciting. But I believe we're going to have to learn to dominate our own thought life first. And that's just where he took me tonight. He talked to me about reigning in my thoughts. He talked to me about reigning in my words, my tongue. And so that's where I'm going to take you, because that's what he talked to me about. Okay? Go with me. Philippians 4. And we're going to have some prayer time at the end tonight. So I just feel like some of us need to just take a moment and rein it in so that we can reign, right? Rein it in. Philippians 4. We're going to jump down to verse 4. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. And I had to put verse 4 in here because I needed this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. He felt the need to say it twice. Okay, there's a lesson right there. Rejoice. Why are we rejoicing? Because we get to reign. This doesn't get to dominate me. Whatever it is you're dealing with does not get to dominate you. You get to reign. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. I'm going to use the subject, come on, help me. It's not the unspoken subject, but the understood subject. Thank you. Oh, please forgive me, Miss Jones. It was trying to come back to me. My teacher in school. Do not, you Susan, you Janine, you Carly, you James, you do not be anxious about anything. Okay, how am I going to take that? How am I going to use that? That means when I start feeling that feeling, like the whirlwind of my brain starts really getting a good motion going, like I'm showing up on Channel 4's radar, I can take this word. I can take that word and I can speak into my own life. Because, I mean, I'm all about speaking to the withered hand to come out. I'm all about speaking for the demons to flee. But ladies and gentlemen, I need to speak to Susan and I need to get some things handled first. So I can take that word and I can say, Susan, you will not be anxious. That's God's word. I'm choosing his word. I'm choosing not to be anxious. I'm choosing to bring the thoughts in my brain to a stop. And they're not going to proceed any further. You know that scripture that says, you know, somewhere in the Bible, Dylan? No weapon formed against me will prosper. Sometimes that weapon's your thought. So, thought, you will not progress any further. Susan, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with... Oh, Susan. I know. What can I be... I can be thankful for just one thing if I need to be, that I have God's word that's anointed to change circumstances and situations. I have God's word that's anointed to help me control my mind, to bring peace to my situation, to my thinking. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is not talking about us just going to God and trying to rattle his cage to get him to do something. Our prayer is not for God. Our prayer is for us. And part of that is for a relief of our soul, that we can take something to our Father. We can talk to him and gain his wisdom from it. We can release it to him. We can go to him with thanksgiving, knowing that he hears us when we pray. And you know what? Sometimes I just need to be heard. I love that he's my father. I don't have dad here now. And he was my sounding board. He always had the answers. Kind of like Tom Wilkins. It's just like, is there anything you don't know? You know, or at least act like you know. And there was a relief in just going and talking talking to my daddy. And so the Father God is that for me now. And I can go to him. I can talk to him. And I can let my request be made known to him. And you know what happens when I do that? I'm not talking about hyping up your problem, trying to talk God into how to understand how desperate you are. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in relationship with him, trusting him with what you're dealing with, knowing that he's at work in your life when you turn this over to him. And this is what happens, verse 7. And then, I'm going to say, and then, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which means it's beyond what I could figure out on my own, that I could motivate in my own self. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard my heart and it will guard my mind. It's like what Tanya and I say this a lot when we're praying over our grandchildren or we're praying over somebody that's dealing with anxiety or whatever. We'll say, coat their mind, Holy Spirit. Coat their mind. And that's the way I see this right here. When I go to God, when I pray to Him, there's this peace that passes all understanding. And then that peace, it's like this protective coating that guards my heart, my mind, my will, my emotions. It coats them and it guards my mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Because trouble, Barbara, wants our attention. Pain in your body, illness in your, it wants your attention. But this passage tells us what to think when it's like, I don't know, I'm country and I'm older than most of you. So, man, I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm older than a lot of you, but there's a few of you still got a year or two. I mean, you knew it was coming. We grew up with well water, right? I know. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming us from that. And we have filters. Anybody else grow up with well water? Oh, good. I'm so glad y'all understand what I'm saying. There was these filters, and sometimes it was like charcoal, or there was sand filters, there were salt filters, there was, I don't know, all kinds of materials they would use. And the water would go through that, and then what came out didn't taste like rotten eggs if you had sulfur water, right? And so it purified, and this Philippians 4 is like one of those filters for our thoughts. And if we want to rein in our thoughts, if we can put it through this filter, because we don't want to just go with, because I've heard people say this, it's so irritating. Whatever's true, well, it is true. Yeah, but is it God's truth? Right? It may be true what they did to you. It may be true what they said to you, but I believe he's talking about God's truth, right? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable. And you know, if I just stopped with those two things, it would filter out a lot of my troubling thoughts. Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think on these things. What you have learned and received, verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. If you want the God of peace to reign in your life, if you want the Prince of Peace to reign in your life, he just gave you the formula. And this takes discipline. John and I have talked a lot about discipline lately, the daily disciplines. This doesn't happen overnight. This is a continual discipline. It's not something we can ever stop. It's a continual discipline to control the thoughts, to put them through the filter and see what comes out the other side. We get to keep. We get to think on it. We can grow whatever thought it is that makes it through that filter. You can think on it all day long. And you know what? You'll be better for it. What he's trying to do is he's trying to stop what's robbing you of reigning in life. He's trying to stop the thoughts that are taking you to a level of life he did not die for. It's what he redeemed you from. And so he's trying to get us there. Let me see. I have it in the Amplified, but I think it's pretty close. Practice what you've learned. Verse 9, it says, practice what you've learned and what you've received, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. The God of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Undisturbed. That's a beautiful word. Undisturbed. Undisturbed. No matter what happens, undisturbed. Not that you don't do anything. I believe God calls us to do things when there's a disturbance. But we have to remain undisturbed. We have to remain undisturbed. Or we just add to the disturbance. We're supposed to bring peace or healing or wholeness. We're supposed to bring the God thing to disturbances. But we have to be undisturbed. And that's what Jesus was king of. I love to read him. Man, I've talked too much. It's 7:36. Okay. Let's go to, and I know these passages are familiar to you, but man, I need them. Proverbs 4. And you know what? I'm thankful that we already are familiar with these. That way we can pull them up to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit can nudge us this week and bring them up to us. But they're so key. They're so foundational. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, be attentive to their words. Oh, no, wait. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. That's like he's going, Susan, I don't know, what do you do with kindergartners now to get their attention? If you hear me, clap three times. You know, I mean, it's like, Susan, be attentive to my words. Forget what you're hearing. Forget what somebody else is saying. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life. I don't know, what kind of life do you think that is? They are life to those that find them. If they're God's sayings and they're God's words, they produce God's life. And he's asked me to keep those in my heart. They're life to those that find them. And they are healing to our flesh. I am convinced that turmoil in our mind is a huge, I'm not a doctor, but I'm just going to say, a huge factor in what goes on in our bodies. And I love vitamins, and I'm thankful for research and all of that. I believe God put things in the earth that can aid us. But y'all, if we would just find his word, keep it in our ears, don't let it escape from our sight, keep it within our heart, they would be life to us, and they would be healing to all our flesh. So right now, you're hearing the word of God. I want you to know that if you will grab a hold of it, it will be healing to your flesh. You should say amen. That means so be it. He just told us that. It'll be life. And not just healing for our flesh, but life. My living, the way I enjoy this life and ministry and everything, family, everything is dependent on this if I want the God kind of health, if I want the God kind of life. And he puts this responsibility on me. He's given me his word. He said, Susan, verse 23, Susan, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. I think King James Version says that out of it come the issues of life. The issues of life. And I can blame everybody else in the world for what's going on in my heart and my mind. But I don't have to. If I read this verse, I can do what he says. And not every other circumstance that's happened in my life doesn't get to dictate and override what he promised me right here. Susan, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Susan, put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Susan, let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Susan, ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Susan, do not swerve to the left. I'm sorry, to the right. I'm left-handed, so I go left first. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. And Susan, turn your foot away from evil. God, please help me. Okay. Let's just do what he said with our brains. Let's just do what he said with our thoughts. Let's just do with what we're looking at and what we're hearing and what we're thinking on. And let's see his word work and produce what he's promised in our lives. Now, you're familiar with Romans 12, but it never ceases to amaze me. I have to do it out of the King James Version because I can't even read it in any other version. It just tangles my tongue. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, to the patterns of this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I can be conformed to this world. That means anything that's happening outside of here, outside of the word is the world. Anything outside of the word is the world. I can be conformed and pattern myself after it. I can let it dictate to me how I am, how I'm going to be, and what's going to happen to me in life. Or I can be transformed, metamorphosed. I can be changed. I can be changed. You ever just wish? You ever hate the way you are? Ever hate the way you're thinking or hate the way you're feeling? I'm not talking about hating yourself. I'm just like, I so don't want to be this way anymore. Well, some of you are perfect, and I really want to get to know you. I mean, you know, there's something in us that we long to change. And guess what? We can. We can. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the renewing of the mind? If I'm going to renew something, what is that? I like to say out with the old and in with the new. You know, renew.
Brainwash yourself.
Yes, wash your brain. Wash your brain. And that takes discipline. It takes discipline. We talked about daily disciplines on Sunday. Daily disciplines. We got to want it, and we got to go after it. God's provided the how. He's provided the word. He's given it to us. We talked Sunday about he spoke the word before it was written. Now that it's written, we can speak it. And so I just want you to concentrate this week on, I don't want you to down yourself, okay? I'm not talking about downing yourself when I say examine yourself. But those things in you that you want to change, that you want different, and then go to his word, find his word on it, and renew your mind, and watch yourself go in that cocoon of his word, if you will, and be transformed. We don't have to keep disliking that thing in ourselves. I'm just going to say, take that request to God with thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving is, God, I thank you that this can be changed in me. I thank you that your word's anointed. This isn't mind over matter. We talked about that Sunday. This isn't mind over matter. This is His word over what matters. And if it matters to you, it matters to Him. And we can put His word on it. Use your words. It's an important part. We talked about this Sunday. James 3, we talked about putting the bits in the horse's mouth. We talked about the rudder on the ship. James 3 is very powerful about what God gave us, a speaker inside of us. And that speaker inside of us can only amplify what it's connected to. So we want to be connected to His word. And then we want to speak His word. And the power that's in that. I'm not going to re-preach Sunday morning. We talked about Sunday morning. I guess I am. Matthew 12, we talked about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Well, if you're speaking what's in abundance in your heart and you want to change that, you've got to start putting stuff in that you haven't put in before. And disciplined. Disciplined, on purpose, targeted areas in our lives. Target the area in your life. Don't just wish for change. Don't just pray every now and then about it. But target it with the Word of God and put the Word to work on it. Okay, I was going to go to Mark 11, but I really feel like we just need to pray. Dylan, can you put on some ministry music, and let's just stand together, because I just feel a heaviness and I'm ready for it to leave. So just hang with us. And Father, we thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Father, that Your word is anointed. The anointing destroys the yoke. So Father, any bondages that are in this house tonight, we bring them before You, not to degrade ourselves, not to hate ourselves, but to say, here, I'm here to be renewed. Father, give me Your word. I'll put it on my lips. I'll sow it into my heart in abundance. It's going to come out of my mouth. It's going to start changing my life. Father, I thank You for Jesus setting the example of what peace looked like. I thank You, Father, that I don't have to be perfect to walk in it. I thank You, Father, that Your word that You sent to us accomplishes what You sent it for in us. We return that word to You. You sent it from heaven. We speak it and return it to You. We give it our will. And Father, I ask forgiveness for being passive. For being passive. I thank You that Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can be a skillful scalpel. That it can go in and it can do mental surgery. It can even because I'm willing for it to change my will. It can change my desires. It can change my desires. Father, we just open ourselves up and listen to You right now as to where You're wanting to deal with us.